Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 90%. Governor Sanwo-Olu says both the red and blue lines are 90% complete. Oh, yes. He has repeated his promise that the services will be up and running within the first quarter of next year. Our second hard fact of the day, Lagos, you've been asking me, well, Sandra, when is it coming back? When is it coming back? When is it coming back? May 9th. That's when I beg to differ returns.
In November, it was Tamvita Kaushik.
Today, honorable judges, my moderator, timekeeper, my fellow co-debater, my name is Tamvita Kaushik. I'm 13 years old.
In March, it was Ruth Okorocha.
That's the moderator, honorable educator, school debater, viewers, and listeners. I'm Ruth Okorocha, bona fide student of Kingsway College.
Who will it be in May? Due to the economic situation of our country, individuals prefer to migrate to other countries in search of greener pastures.
The I beg to differ debate tournament is back on May 9th.
1,862 data breaches were recorded, quadrupling the amount of data breaches in recent years.
16 new debaters.
There is lots of capital invested in the subsidized public education.
17 new debate topics.
How can you say you are punishing me and it's helping me? How? It's not a punishment.
And on Children's Day, we'll do what we usually do
and end it with one winner, 1 million naira.
Join me, Sandra Ezekwesili, and catch all the action Mondays to Thursdays at 4 p.m. on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. For partnership and sponsorship opportunities, call 0703-498-4352. Again, 0703-498-4352.
May 9th, set your calendars, it's coming back. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. Thank you for tuning in to Hard Facts. I have a great show for you today. We'll start with a big weekend. I'm sure you can hear that I have a cold, so apologies if I sound a bit off. Oh, and thank you to all the people who tried to reach out to some of the students who we were trying to reach but couldn't. Some of the students who made our top 14, who were part of the playoffs, you did your best. Like, when I say this 1 million Lagosians that listen to Hard Facts, some people think, how does she know it's 1 million Lagosians? Well, there are people whose jobs it is to do research and find out how many people listen to a radio station. And they did their research and they found out that over 1 million Lagosians do. And, you know, every time there are things that happen on this show that just make me be, you know, say that, or more like, this is so true, you know, because all I did was announce the names of the candidates we couldn't reach. Just say their name, say their school, their age once. I did it once. And the next thing I know, they're reaching out to me via email. They're reaching out to me on social media because people heard it here and they reached out to them. It's also why you should advertise here because we have Lagos listening. But anyways, let's talk about Governor Sanwo-Olu ordering an end to illegal trading under Akpongbon Bridge. Then let's talk about the federal government reopening four more border posts. Let's also talk about the explosion in Imo State at an illegal refining site. And then let's talk about the PDP's consensus candidacy controversy. On Madam Landlord, we'll talk about the curious customs and payments that people face when they want to buy land or develop land. Right now, I'm trying to fence my land. There's this piece of land I bought in Port Harcourt. I'm trying to fence it. And I'm being told that I have to buy a goat for the family that sold me the land before I can start fencing. Land where I don't buy finished. I bought this land how many years ago? You know, but I'm ready to fence it now, right? And then I, you know, I'm making calls about, oh, who's going to do that, etc., etc. And then, oh, you buy goats for the people that sold you the land. We'll talk about stuff like that. 4 p.m., you and I on Madam Landlord today. On the big hard fact, let's talk about the debate to zone the presidency to the southeast. I'm interviewing Afenifere leader, Ayo Adebanjo. He's on the record that he thinks the southeast should get the presidency in the interest of fairness. As usual, we'll bring you the latest updates from the news, sports, and business. But right now, let's get into the big weekend. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Have I told you that? And these are your hard facts.
The big weekend.
Why have traders returned to Akpongbon Bridge? Should border posts still be closed almost 3 years later? Why is there no will to stop illegal refining? And do Nigerian politicians have the temperament for consensus candidacy? It was a big weekend. Lagos, let's talk. Sonolu, went to visit at Wombrong, and some interesting things happened. You know, it's been less than 2 months, right, after the Wombrong fire, the Wombrong bridge fire, and traders are back under the bridge. Now, you have to remember, first of all, that the market was illegal to begin with. Market's not supposed to be under that bridge to begin with. Then the fire that damaged that bridge started in the market. After fire, government chased the traders away. But now they're back. Some people will say they never left. Governor Sanwo-Olu spotted them while he was inspecting railway projects, and now he's given them until Wednesday to leave. Otherwise, the government will evict them. So I wanted to talk about this, Lagos. First of all, are you surprised or not surprised that the traders returned or never left, depending on who you ask? Second of all, what do you think about the fact that Lagosians have obviously been going to buy stuff from them, knowing that this market caused the fire that damaged the bridge, and knowing that traders were chased away? Because if people know they go buy markets for there, traders don't go there. But Lagosians, they go buy markets. Abi? So what do you think about the fact that even though people know, say, now this market caused this fire with damage at Wombrong Bridge, people still go there, go buy something? People also know, say, they don't chase these traders come out, so why didn't they go there, go buy something? And are you surprised that the traders are still there? Call us on 0700-993-993-993. Call us as well on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. 0700-993-993-993. We've got Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. We've got Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. And of course, yes, you can send us messages on WhatsApp if you want to. WhatsApp is 080-959-975805. If you're abroad, join the conversation via Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. Hello. Thanks for calling. Hello. All right. Looks like that person's calling me from Bombo Market itself. 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Koboko,
welcome.
Koziquagi. First, we start with, I want him to pursue the traders there, yes.
Okay.
But as him the pursue trader, let him say that pursue, I will wait for Lagos. That's number one. Number two, auntie, the border reopening, I want them to, I give government 24 hours to close by the border. My house is along Iduroko, Stone Road, and I'm eating foreign rice. And I want you to tell me if you have eaten abacalical rice in 3 years, and tell me the truth.
Yes, you know, I have. I've eaten
it. I let me tell you the truth with my life. What we are seeing in Otana is not
unfortunately, your line is breaking up, so you have to call us back. Paul is in Ajah. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, this is Paul. Your friend from Badagi.
Oh, Paul, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, as usual now. For this matter, but I have information to pass to you.
You have information to pass to me? Oh,
on air. So that people will hear.
No, don't pass it on air, because I need to vet.
No. It concerns people on air.
It concerns who?
It concerns Lagosians.
Stay on the line. Let them retrieve the call and you'll pass it off the air. Thank you very much for calling. Just stay on the line. 99.3, hello?
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Chibuzo.
Chibuzo, welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. Sandra, what is happening in this country is what Fela calls government magic.
Okay.
Can you imagine, after that fire incident, the governor himself went there, and he gave them 1 week to quit. And now, almost a month passed. Now they are coming back again to give them 3 days. Haven't given them 1 month since, for 1 week for the past 6 months. So you see, make your investigation. find out, because I know there are people that collect money in that bridge. Those people are not there by themselves. They didn't just go there to sample their wares and stuff. There are high-ranking people in the society, especially in Lagos State, probably in government, that allotted those to them. And I bet you that in afternoon and evening, they pay dues.
That's an interesting concept there. Thank you very much for calling. Your line was breaking up, so I had to end the call. That's an interesting theory, you know, especially when you think about, you know, the governor who chased them away the first time. Because how is it possible that before Governor Sanwo-Olu's inspection, none of the authorities responsible were aware that the traders were back? Did the call? Did the local government authorities not notice? Did the State Ministry for Commerce not notice? Did the State Ministry for Environment not notice? Did the Federal Ministry of Works personnel who were inspecting the bridge from time to time, did they not notice that the traders were back? The police, Seth, did the police not notice? How was this allowed to go on until the governor came by and saw them again? And what does it say about our ability to enforce law and order? What does it say about our approach to public safety? You and I saw the video of what that fire did to that bridge. That bridge was bending and twisting. Was that sight not enough to put the authorities on high alert to make sure that that particular illegal market, which caused that horrendous fire, never springs up again? Now, of course, I know that a lot of the traders there, you know, were on camera begging the government to not chase them away from there. But it doesn't take away from the fact that they were at an illegal spot to trade to begin with. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. We've got Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We've got Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Yeah, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, speaking with Mr. Izuma, Sandra.
Welcome, go ahead.
Sandra, I'm not happy about the reopening of the border. I work there as a customs agent.
Okay.
Now, after 4 years, can you tell me what the federal government have finally achieved in shutting down the border?
Okay.
Is there any single decision that they have achieved?
Well, I don't know. You work for customs, so you tell me.
No. I'm a clearing agent. I work there.
Okay.
The goods that I called you was in the last 2 weeks or there about on this same issue.
Mm-hmm.
The goods that we are clearing at 1.5 million for 40 feet, Sandra. That 40 feet now is almost 8.5 million. Go to Senegal, still nothing is happening. Senegal, they just spoke in the last 2 years. What is happening at the Senegal? It means we are okay. People will not be complaining that there is a lot of fungi. There is this thing. This the one that they just opened now is Sakamake. The best thing is that bringing down the cost of the duty. You see, things will be moving. How will you goes that we are clearing with this thing, 1.5 million. It is now 8.5 million. It's quite unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Okay, now how much is the Nigerian rice that you are saying that we should grow what we eat? How much is a bag of rice? Can somebody that is earning 30,000 naira go and buy Nigerian rice? Nigerian rice is almost close to 30,000 naira now. How much? I don't know. Okay, now, which is now, we've lost about 58 of our members. 58 of our members, because the moment we wake up, you don't even know where you are going. You don't even know nothing. We that we are still surviving. It's just by the special grace of God. Because we have plan B. It's very wrong, unfortunate. This opening is just because of the election. Let them chop it down. Make everybody suffer more. It's quite unfortunate.
All right, thanks for calling. I mean, I'm trying to see the logic in that. Oh, we're suffering. Open the border. And then they open the border. Oh, shut it down. Let's suffer more. Well, I'm not... I don't understand. Christopher is in Ikoyi. Hi, Christopher. All right, Christopher is not there anymore. But yes, you just heard our last caller talk about the federal government ordering the reopening of four more border posts. These border posts are Kamba Border Post, Jibia Border Post, Idiroko Border Post, and Ikom Border Post. Now, you know that President Buhari ordered border closure in August 2019, and it was very controversial at the time when he did that. While the president and his supporters said that it was necessary to stop Benin Republic and others from flooding our markets with maize, people who opposed this pointed out that this thing is negatively affecting commerce for local manufacturers who export, as well as raising the price of food, you know. Eventually, in December 2021, President ordered the reopening of four major border posts, Maitagari, Seme, Ilela, and Mfon. But the other ones remained shut, and the ban on imports of rice and chicken remained in place. But now they've opened four more border points. And I wonder if you think that this policy has been worth the pain. Has it been worth it? By pain, what I mean is the increase in food prices, the effects on Nigerian exporters who found it harder to access their markets. You just heard from a clearing agent who talked about how much they now have to use to clear goods. Manufacturers who cannot get their raw materials from abroad. Was it worth it, this border closure? That's my big question for you today. Was it worth it? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. And yes, you can still talk about our first story, the Akpomo market and the traders who either returned or never left. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you? What's your name? All right, call back if you can.
99.3.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, thanks for calling.
Okay, this is Joy.
Hi, Joy, welcome.
Sandra, Ian, you know, other times when I will tell you that you open the border, you always say, but it's, my border is open.
Mm.
And I will tell you, okay, if it's open, why are things still expensive?
Yes.
So now, have you seen that what people are telling is actually true, that the border being opened is not really opened per se? I don't know what that open, that they open, what it is meant for, because you still cannot bring in other goods. You can't bring rice, you can't bring chicken, you can't bring turkey. We are not self-sufficient. We cannot feed ourselves now. Now, you see, we have bandits in the farm and all the rest. How do you think the farmers are farming? So since we have all these challenges here and there, why still close up the border for us, for people bringing in food? It is when you are able to eat well that you can think well. So Nigerians now are really hungry. Food are really expensive. So I wanted to ask you, did you know code that was opened? Is it that rice can now freely come in?
No.
Or it can't come in, right? It's still contraband.
Rice, yes, it's still contraband, yes.
No, it doesn't make sense. So the border that's open, what is the border open for? That's what I want to understand. Is it for export or for what type of goods did they open that border for? Because they are actually enriching customs. If you don't know, if you ask people who are around, they are actually enriching customs. That is why we still have lots of smuggling going on. Allow this and open. This policy of closing the border from all these things they call contraband is not working, Sandra. It's not. Me and you go to the market. We see how things are expensive. A kilo of turkey is 3-2. Now, do you have Nigerian turkey? Do you have turkey to buy in Nigeria? Do you have chicken to buy? You want to buy one? Chicken is 9,000 naira for one. How about Sandra? What kind of policy are they giving us? Thank you.
Thank you, Joy, for calling. Now, she was asking, okay, so this reopening that they've reopened it, what is supposed to pass through there? Well, human beings are supposed to pass through there, and goods that are not banned are also supposed to pass through the borders, or they're allowed to pass through the borders. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Now, my name is Prince Wise, calling you from Ikeja this afternoon.
Good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, my dear. You see,
I'm hearing myself in the background.
This is Akpagba, eh? The local government officials, they're supposed to be far culpable. Yes, all the bridge was damaged by these people. And the local government allowed them to do. What are we doing? The government did not pass that area. So the government do the right thing by giving necessary days notice for them to kill that place. The alternative for the Lagos state government or the local government provide them alternative. That for that. And for the closed open of border, they try, whether it is succeeded or not. But when you can't feed ourselves, you have to open the border. Mm. And open the border is not for smuggling goods. Because the time they close the border, I think Nigeria make a lot of money through the right channel. But now, Nigeria, we must wake up. The right we are talking is to bring you from abroad. It is not drop from heaven.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Let's leave it at that. We have a break coming up. When we come back from this break, let's talk about an explosion in Imo State. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the Big Weekend on Hard Facts. Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. These stories broke this weekend. Over 100 people are dead after an illegal refinery exploded in Imo State on Friday. It happened in the Abezi Forest in Ohaji, Egbema, local government area. President Buhari called the explosion a national disaster when he sent his condolences. He also told the security agencies and intelligence services to clamp down. The government is declaring a crackdown on illegal refining. And there are lots of questions around why the security forces cannot seem to get the industry under control. A couple of months ago, next door to Imo State, Governor Nyesom Wike started a crackdown in River State, if you remember. We all heard him accuse a DPO of owning a refinery himself. We also saw several local government chairmen also being accused of being involved in illegal refining. We saw civil defense officers in River State allegedly resisting government officials who came to shut down a bunkering site. That situation got so bad that the NSCDC National Command had to step in, you know? Anyone who lives or who has lived in the Niger Delta has and who has truly observed the oil industry will tell you that in mechanical terms, oil bunkering and oil refining should not be very difficult to checkmate. It's not. It shouldn't be difficult to check. You know where the pipelines are. You know when a pipeline is not yielding as much output as it should. You know all the jetties and wharfs and pokus where people bring boats to buy the product. From there, you can trace the sites where the co-fire is being done. So if there's a will, it is relatively straightforward to shut all of this down. So why isn't there a will? Meanwhile, the Imo State government has declared one Okenze Onyemwoke wanted. He is the alleged owner or operator of the site that exploded. What do you think about this story, Lagos? Do you think this Imo disaster will make the authorities sit up and truly crack down on illegal refining? Or do you think, you know, Ebono and then it goes to bed? Share your thoughts with me. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're listening to The Big Weekend on Hard Facts. Hello. Thanks for calling us. Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
This is Mr. Frank, the Vice President of AFA.
Mr. Frank, my Vice President. Welcome.
Hi. Alexander, your voice is not sweet. Oh.
Sorry. It's cold.
No, wahala. Alexander, these people lock borders before. Now they want to reopen it. Why? This border closure will hit me bad. Among every other person in this Nigeria.
Okay.
Then so why are they opening it now?
How did it hit you hard? Tell me.
Sometimes we used to operate from Ekom, that's Ekom border. That one was the worstest one. And this is my border road. Because sometimes we used to go through those borders because of army transporter. We have small cars running through there, and this is my border road.
Okay.
Now you block the road. The passengers don't have that free access to the floating. The thing cut off. It's a very big hit to me. Now, one of the callers said they closed that border now, and they have made a lot of money there. Where is those money they make through there? They are making a lot of money through there, and they are still borrowing trillions. Why did they open it? Let them close it back. We can manage ourselves. And for this refinery, Santa Sandra, an ordinary human being cannot open a refinery, both big and local. I like as you break it down, when you see the other people at Port Harcourt, it was civil defense, government officer was securing that place. Am I the one?
No.
Can you say you put a refinery and nobody knows that? Just like we are Nigeria for them, and you say that nobody will know where Nigeria is. Is it possible? No one is hidden. It is open. Tankers used to enter those places and load and go away. The roads are open, so they know what they are doing. If they want to solve all these things, you open the main.
We lost the connection to Frank there. But thank you for calling, Frank. We've got Christopher and Ikoyi on the line. Hi, Christopher.
My book, Presido.
Good to have you on the show.
Good afternoon. This is your senior special advisor on general duty.
Welcome.
Thank you. Please, for now, can you stay away from cold something?
Okay, sir.
Maybe in the night you take like Lipton and alum. Lime.
Okay, thank you.
Not alum, lime.
Okay, thank you.
Obontity with Lipton warm before you go to bed. Wow. The next day the thing will clear.
Okay, thank you.
Then for the border, you know, Nigerians, we tolerate a lot. I never believe that what these guys give to us, Nigerians will absorb it. I never believe it, my sister. But good thing, they opened the border, right? But chicken and the rice cannot come in, Abi.
Yes.
Hello, my
chicken
president.
Chicken and rice can't come in, yes.
Aha, good. We've been eating from there now. The way they close the border, we've been eating. I hear one of the supporters, there's enough rice. A farmer, they allow the farmers. They make a lot of money. Where is the money? President Sandra, for that refinery, you know that, where is that place it happened again? Izumbe, Abi, Ejimen. They be my area, right?
Yes.
Those are oil producing area.
Yes.
All this Ejeme Kuru, you get small refinery. The people know, the security agents know about this. Why must they wait until about 100 of people died before government will come up? They know about this. Look at the one in Rivers, you said, NNCDC and the whatever. They're against the government decision to clamp down on those guys. And if you look at, if the refinery is working, I don't think anybody with his right senses will go to where they're doing that illegal something. So government, please, enough of these live people dying, like chicken, 100, and now government is clamping on them. Well, President Sandra, don't worry, we're almost there. See, you get my point.
I don't get your point, but Christopher, thanks for calling. Ebiambo on Facebook says, Sandra, how man go do? Man must work now. That's the mentality of street trading, be it under the bridge of Lagos or elsewhere. Man no go steal or beg now. That is why street trading is always like a cat and mouse quarrel between the government, that's the local government to be precise, and the poor populace. And it is a common feature in any part of the world. I hope you know that there's street trading in the streets of New York and London. In New York, for instance, it's common for one to see petty traders in subway stations. Yes, there's street trading in a lot of big cities in the world, but they are regulated. They're well regulated. You won't find them trading in places where they're not supposed to trade. And if they are trading in places where they're not supposed to trade, they are constantly being raided by security agents. So the police, the local government, etc., etc. Does that happen here? We've got Jamie Ilori who says, Sandra, as for the border opening, all that is to deceive Nigerians because the custom duty is times 3 to what the importers used to pay before. Nigerians should not expect anything to come down in price because government did not do the needful. Jamie Ilori with that message there. More messages coming our way from Facebook. Let's take a look. I'm trying to read the ones that, you know, are not explosive. Because the people on Facebook, they don't used to care that the regulators are listening to Sandra. They'll just come on Facebook and just say things. Aboki Masuya says, Sandra, believe me, Ah, Aboki, I beg. I don't feel that way, right, though. Sorry. So Dick says, the borders were closed to the generality of the people, but open to a privileged few to transact business. What has the closure achieved? Buhari's policy brought hardship to the people from his military days to his democratic days. He will be remembered for the hardship and sorrow brought to the land despite the defense of his media aides. All right, let's take one more call and then we'll bring you our final story on today's Big Three, a big weekend. 99.3, hello.
Hello, yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, this is Emmanuel speaking.
Emmanuel, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And how are you doing today?
I'm alive. Go ahead.
Great. So, first of all, let me start from the issue of the border closure, yeah?
Okay.
So, it's funny because Nigerians tend to be taken for granted.
Okay.
And because we as the people, we don't understand the kind of power we wield.
Mm.
A couple of times, I travel a lot and I've gone through these border regions.
Okay.
Be it the one connecting from Port Novo. See, the border was never closed. It was only closed to the general public.
Oh, okay.
And I'm telling you this from a fact because I've gone through that route more than once.
Okay.
And I see the way things move both in and out. And I, each time I always ask myself, but the government told us that they closed the border. But the question is, we will ask the government these questions. That's the big questions we have. The issue of the pipeline explosion, it's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathy to those that lost their loved ones. But at the same time, I think the biggest problem of the government is the people. And the biggest problem of the people is the people. The reason why I said that is this. According to reports, there's a vehicles queued up to purchase fuel from these places where the explosion happened.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is simple, because it's cheaper to buy fuel from these guys. I've seen it. And because it's cheaper, they just feel, oh, why would I go to the regulators to purchase at 165 when I can easily get at maybe 120 or 110? That is why it is difficult also for the government to clamp down on these people, because the people are also protecting these people. Now, with what happened in less than 48 hours, the name of the alleged owner has surfaced.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, the government takes us for granted, and we, the people, we don't understand the kind of power we wield.
Emmanuel, thank you very much for calling. The attempts to get a consensus candidate within the PDP seems to be on the rocks. Last Monday, I interviewed Bukola Saraki, one of their presidential aspirants. And he talked about how consensus candidacy would work and how they were making progress with it.
As I said, it's not an either or.
Hmm.
In the APC, there was consensus work before we get to the primaries.
Hmm.
I mean, some of us are new. There were candidates that before the primaries, consensus kind of led them to have stepped down. At least I know about three aspirants who did not participate. And when we went to the APC, if you remember, there were about four aspirants.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, there were about eight or nine aspirants. The consensus work, which is normally done behind the scenes, in trying to say, listen, let's have a consensus candidate. That does not say that who else is interested in contesting should not contest. I need to clear that. It's not an either or.
Okay.
So even in the APC, there was some kind of consensus understanding.
Okay.
That let us support Buhari.
Okay.
Some said, no, we're not going to support Buhari. It's okay, fine. Go to the primaries.
Okay.
So it's not that it's an either or.
Okay.
So it's a bit of both. It's just a way of trying to sort of reduce the crowd, make it easier to manage the convention. Because don't forget, the convention at the primaries is just one step. The main issue is still the election, going out to go and face Nigerians before the party. So it's always better for a party to be united, to focus on the issue, which is the other party. This is like a family thing when you really do primaries. So what you can do in order to ensure that you stay united, you stay focused, you work towards the major objective, which is your party winning.
And this weekend, it looked like they had cleared a major hurdle. An announcement came that two of the northern aspirants had emerged from the consensus. And two of them were Saraki himself and Bala Muhammad. But then we now heard from Kano Governor Aminu Tambuwal. Sokoto Governor Aminu Tambuwal. We also heard from one other northern aspirant. and he rejected the announcement. He said all the aspirants had agreed to end the process because they couldn't agree on the way forward. So he was shocked to hear this announcement that some aspirants had been shortlisted. And he's not alone. Atiku Abubakar also distanced himself from the announcement. And then we heard from a group claiming to represent PDP Northern leaders and stakeholders. That statement was signed by Sule Lamido. Sule Lamido is the former Jigawa governor. And the statement says that they were not consulted. They said that the announcement was just the personal opinions of those who made the announcement and doesn't reflect the views of PDP leaders in the region. So, yeah, it's not looking as straightforward as Bukola Saraki may want. And it brings us, really, to the all-important question about consensus candidacy. And this is one of the topics that my children will debate when they join us from May 9th. Are Nigerian politicians selfless and disciplined enough for it to work? Consensus candidacy. Are Nigerian politicians selfless and disciplined enough for it to work? Actually, the students who will debate this are the playoff candidates. So we have two spots left in the top 16, and we have four students who will battle it out in the first week of May to be the final two that make it into the top 16. So one of those groups will debate this consensus candidacy topic. But do you think that politicians generally submit themselves to the process? Will they do that, do you think? Or do you think that politicians would generally resist the process if they have the means to do so? Yesen Wike granted an interview to the BBC, and in that interview he said a big that consensus candidacy in Shanshan Bobo, the more you look, the less you see. He said he will not be subject to consensus candidacy. He said that he's going to keep running for president until that the only reason he steps down is if he dies. Very strong statement from Yesen Wike, but it begs the question, will politicians generally submit themselves to the process to choose a consensus candidate, or will they generally resist it if they have the means to do so? Are Nigerian politicians selfless and disciplined enough for consensus candidacy to work? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. Don't forget, we have a great conversation coming up at 4 between you and I on Madam Landlord. Have you ever tried to buy land by yourself and then try to build on the land that you bought? Were there interesting things that happened while that was going on? That conversation starts at 4, so don't miss it. But for right now, let's talk about our stories from today's big week. Weekend 99.3. Hello,
Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
My name is Dan Baba.
Dan Baba, you're calling our line for women. Dan Baba, go and call the right line. 99.3. Hello,
Madam Sandra. Sorry.
It's okay. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, yes, Madam Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. We've got so many stories. Which one do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, let me go this way.
Okay.
I want to talk about the border from here.
Okay.
You see, Sandra, you see, we Nigeria and Nigeria citizens, some of us are hypocrites.
Okay.
Yes, some of us are hypocrites. We keep on blaming government.
Okay.
Let me tell you, if Buhari did not close that border, somebody will still tell you that he has chosen one Hausa man in that position to be eating money.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Now, he closed it. I'm very sure there are some little, even if not much, there are little kind of progress that happened.
Okay.
But because of a particular, there are some particular trait I hate that man called Buhari. They don't want to, anything he do is wrong within themselves. And there was someone, that was one of them, I normally call your radio station. I listened to you right from, I listened to this radio since 2014. I've been listening, I know all the whole stuff, but I hardly call.
Okay.
That's for that. On Imo, fine, if anybody talk about that particular region, basically, you hate them. You understand? I know somebody, two guys that died in that explosion.
I'm sorry for your loss.
One of the good friends they're from Igbos. Government knows what is happening there. But if they act, they stop them, you will see the way they will resist. They will fight them, they will fight the security men back. Look at what is happening around them. Look at the world security situation. One of the most peaceful states so far. I serve in Anambra State, Opo, those days. Very peaceful area. Look at what it has done to because of one particular hatred for one particular tribe. And it's coming off from that region. So, honestly speaking, unless we, the electorate, we ourselves, me included, if we did not sit down and ask ourselves what we truly want, we will keep on blaming government in eternity.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Even though I think that a lot of what you said was littered with inaccuracy and innuendo that some may interpret as really harmful, because I don't think that there's anyone who hears about illegal bunkering and says, oh, why are you coming after our people? Most people who have called in today to talk about illegal bunkering have condemned it and have said, well, government doesn't want to do anything about it because, as we saw in River State some months ago when Nyesom Wike was, trying to shut down a number of illegal refining sites, we had state officials involved in the illegal refining themselves, you know. So, again, you know, because you didn't really say much, you were just insinuating, you didn't really spell anything out. That's why I'm not checking you as strongly as I would like to. But you and I know what you just did there. We've got Emmanuel Inekpe on the line. Hi, Emmanuel.
Okay. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You've got 1 minute.
Sorry for your call.
Thank you.
When the consensus saga was happening over the weekend, I'm like, now don't give this fufu lady something to talk about on Monday. And I was correct. But our party is fine. Let me speak like a politician. There is no problem. We are moving forward. There is nothing to worry about. Everything is okay. So, please close on that. On the border closure, please, what did we benefit? Sandra, I married from that border area. They call the place Ombe, in Yewa North. There are some pictures you might have seen on Facebook when they will pile up bags of rice, like 6-7. If you are at the back of the bike, you won't see the driver of the bike. I always thought those pictures were fake pictures, that it's not possible. But I saw them live when rice are being smuggled. So, for anybody to say borders are short, yes, they might be short somewhere, but smuggling of rice is still happening. And we just suffered in Nigeria. There's nothing we gained in this smuggling of, in the border closure.
All right. Thanks for calling, Emmanuel. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll keep talking about these stories. Don't go away. Traders return to Akpombom Bridge. Should border posts still be closed almost 3 years later? And why is there no will to stop illegal refining? Do Nigerian politicians have the temperament for consensus candidacy? These were stories from the weekend. Let's talk. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We've got 4 more minutes to the top of the hour. Hello to you. What's your name? Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you
hear me? All right. This is CJ calling from Ogun State.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, my issue I want to comment is this Egbema explosion. Yes, you see, Egbema, there are two Egbemas, one in River State, one in Imo State. That has this. I'm familiar with it.
Okay.
But my concern is this, is that if you check critically, or let's say probably you do an underground investigation, my concern is this. The federal government may not be completely aware of what is going on in that state, but that's the state top government officials, they are aware of what is going on.
Okay.
The community heads, the chiefs, they also know what is going on there.
Okay.
The youth leaders, even the security, if you go through that area from Oso Obodo down to Omok, you will see the number of police officers along that road.
That's right.
So the government agency cannot come out and tell us that they don't know what is going on there. And it's very, very pathetic and sad, horrific for the loss of souls. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got lots of messages on WhatsApp, and I won't try and take as many of them as I can. Hi, Sandra. My name is Kudos. I just returned from the East. I can tell you authoritatively the government knows what's up. The owners of fuel stations buy cheap fuel from them. When we get to Edo, we met two tankers filled with bunkery, stopped by the police for settlement, that the owners will dismiss them if they stop them. All right. Ezekiel from Bauchi says, Wike is just a comedian. Imagine his speech in Anambra. I keep watching that video. It really made my day. We've got a message here from Chris, who is listening from Accra. Chris says, Sandra, the last caller is 200% correct. Flight fare, COVID test to and fro, both airports made going to Accra like 250-300K last year when I planned coming to Ghana. Somebody advised me to use the border. I was given a custom officer who facilitated my movement up to Accra for 60K then. Indeed, lots of government officials are benefiting from the closure, and it favors them to remain closed. All right. Lots of comments here. Sandra, it's our government that is not treating us well. The Imo State government, if the Imo State government says they're not aware of this illegal refining, if our refineries were working, who is the person with his right senses that will patronize these illegal refineries? That's a message from Aking Boboye. All right. Sandra, please help shed light on this question. Please, is the ban on rice and chicken still in place? Yes, they're still in place. We've got someone who says authorities are making huge money from that area of business. Border opening will give access to drugs and arms to flood the country against the elections. That's a serious comment there. Here's a message from Raymond in Ajah. Raymond says, good afternoon, Sandra. I'm not surprised that the traders are still there. Their actions are as a result of a failed system. If you ask them well, you discover that they are paying some government officials for using under the bridge. All right, Raymond, thank you for your message. Let's take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll bring you the business news. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.